Isaiah chapter 54, let's begin at verse 1. And we have embarked on a series, and we've been teaching this, amen, in terms of moving to the next level. And I need to tell you even what that is so that we can understand that it's happening. Amen. We're moving to the next level. Not so much we're moving to the next level like I'm going to leave this location, but I'm challenging areas in my life to come up to my next level of development. See, certain people peek out. They say, it's comfortable right here. This is me. This is how I do it. And so I quit growing. I quit transforming. I quit becoming. Like I told my son, he just left to go to school. And I told him, I said, son, you're finna go to your next level as a young man. You're a man now. And life is about to cease the way you used to know it. Now, if I don't talk to him like that, he's going to go there trying to live like he used to live back here. And that ain't real. You on another level. They're going to require a whole lot of more stuff from you, and it's independent living. But if nobody ever told me that, I'm up there acting like I'm back here, and I'm still up under the tutors and governors. You're not up under that no more. You're going to have to feed yourself. You're going to have to get a job. You have to make decisions that I'm not going to be there to help you govern. But if I don't introduce you to that, you'll be sitting there waiting on me to say something to you like we used to do it. But you're 19. You're 38. Oh, I got to talk to you because some of us got off at 38. This is how I live now. This is me. But you stopped growing. You have not discovered all of you. You just got to the place where it's convenient for you, comfortable to you, and you said, I stop. I get off right here. But it's a whole lot of more you that got to come out. Because the Bible says you go from faith to faith. So it's good that we made it to where we are, but you've not peaked out. Ask Caleb. Caleb said, I was yet old. And Caleb said, I still got the same attitude and the spirit of faith I had when I was a young man of God. Give me my mountain. What was he saying? Whatever problem that's in front of me, I still go at it like I used to go at it. Believe God. Stand on the word of God. I'm not out of the faith. Give me my mountain. Are you hearing me? Excuse me, sir. So now let's look at this text. Because once we see this text, you're going to understand what God is doing when I say go and move into the next level. We all are right here. We made it to wherever you at. You got what you do have, but you have not peaked out, and neither are you through, and nor can you rest or hide out in here. I had to slide that little part, end part in there. Amen? And that's a good thing. You can't hide out in here. Don't you want to be challenged? Don't you want everything God got for you? Don't you want to become everything God said you can? Or are we all just satisfied with what we got? Now, I'm not saying you despise where you at, but I'm not content with where, satisfied with where I'm at. I'm content until my change comes, but I am living for a change. I am living to do more. I want to accomplish more. I want to do things I've never done, go places I've never been, have things I never had, be able to do things. Come on, somebody. May the life of God come back up on the inside of me, the creativity of God. Some people get into their 50s and 60s and start getting creative. Because they were not developed and prepared for where they are at the stage they was back then. So the Spirit of God come up on them. They just letting you know I'm not through. So now let's look at this text. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. It says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the woman with, the children of the married wife, says the Lord. He says there's more people who've lost their vision and lost the power of God, the grace of God on it. There's more people that had potential than it was that was birthed and made it. Go to your prisons. Them folk up in there got goods. They made wrong decisions. Go to your grave. The grave is full of people who went young, you know what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. So he's saying there's more people like that than it is of those that you looking at and talking about they made it. So what God is saying, because the Spirit of God is up on us now, I'm coming back now to birth back into those that did not make it or achieve it. And even if you got off, I'm putting you back on. Even if you fell down, I'm picking you back up. Even if you was left, I'm getting you back on. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I can dream again. I can see again. I can hear again. Have you ever been in a place where you couldn't hear God? Oh, come on now. And it don't have to be a place that I've done so much wrong. I can be in a place where the word ain't coming forth. I can be in a place where the Spirit of God doesn't lift it. Now I'm in a place I can hear again. I can, my baby jumping again. I can feel the water's troubling on the inside of me, in my spirit, to have an expectation again. I can even get pregnant again. Come on, somebody. I can get pregnant by the Spirit of God, meaning I can have a vision. God can birth something in me that I can be creative and come up with a business idea, come up with a new, so I can do it again. I'm not one dimensional. I only live on one lane. I got more lanes on the inside of me that I ain't even tapped into yet, but I need to get in fertile ground that's going to speak to my inward man, that's going to cause me to arise again. I know I can do it because I got here, but somehow between here and there, I quit getting up. So now I'm just maintaining. Now I'm just going on, but I'm not trying to come up no more. I used to draw. I used to sing. I don't even sing no more because I done lost the passion to sing, because somewhere I lost my. So I'm giving you the context of this text to show you when he's saying this, what he's speaking into your spirit. Then he says, verse 2, he says, enlarge the place of thy tent. And we dwelt with that. You got to get the tapes. I'm not going to mess with all that. But he said, enlarge the place of your tent. Dream again. Some of us done quit dreaming. We maintain it now. You don't even talk about new nothing. We don't even want to spend nothing, do nothing else. Let's just keep what we got. And they create new stuff everywhere all around you. But you don't see new no more. Because I can't enlarge the place of my tent. My expectation is gone. I'm not conceiving anything no more. My receptivity is shut down. The frequencies are jumping, but I can't hear nothing. I'm not making no tapping in. See, there's electricity in this building. You don't see it, but it's here. If you got any kind of appliance and then you're plugging into that wall, you got some activity.
Yes, sir.
So, the Spirit of God is in this place, but some of us can't tap in. I'm speaking to your spirit. Come on, somebody. I'm in the spirit. I'm talking to the spirit of a man and a woman of God. See, the Spirit of God is awakening us. He said, enlarge the place of thy tent. He said, let them stretch forth the curtains of their habitations. Don't get limited to where you at. Get out the box.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You watch everybody else get out the box, but you scared to get out the box. Peter got out the boat. There was other folks in the boat, but nobody else got out but Peter, because Peter heard something they didn't hear.
Yes, sir.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Yes, sir.
I'm preaching to you so you can hear something. I know what you've been doing. I know where you've been at, but you came to hear something to make a change.
Yes, sir.
You didn't come to maintain your position. You came to make a transition from here to there. I don't even know where there is, but I know there is there. I can feel it inside of me. I know it's something, but I just don't know what it is because ain't nobody introduced it to me. I ain't seen the previews of the coming attraction, but I'm coming to hear from God. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth. I'm trying to train myself. I said I would. I said, let them. I get excited. I ain't gonna shame. I get excited because I used to be down and out. I used to, come on, somebody. And when I made up my mind, when I got up, I don't care about no devil or demon in hell gonna tell me about going back down again. I know what down look like. I don't want no down. I don't even want no down folk around me. It might jump up off me and mess around, catch me on a bad day, and that thing jump on me, I'm in trouble. He says, stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Now, this is where we at today. Spare not. Everybody say, spare not.
Spare not.
See, watch this. God done moved in some of our lives. But because you got the way you at, you start sparing. You meaning you start quitting moving. The momentum is gone. The passion is gone. The thrust is gone. The activity is gone because you say we arrived. How you arrive and you only in half time? You're 30, 50, 20 years old. You only in half of the game and you ain't arrived. We still got another whole half a game to play. Keep your suit on. Get back on the field. Come on, somebody. Isn't anybody ready to do this? See, I'm talking about you got a God that want to do something for you, but God can't violate you. He can only inspire you. And the moment you act on the word, now he can give you the grace that is enabling you to do what he told you you can do. But he can't make you do it. Look at Colossians. So we're going to pick back up. You need to get them two tapes out there to begin to work with this series, amen, so we can get this done today because I believe this word is going to bless us. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's begin with verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, if you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature that is under the heaven, whereof I am made a minister. He says, now watch this. If you will continue, I'm going to take you back to the text so you can catch this. He says, if you will continue in the faith. See, our faith has called us to step out and do what God's saying. But now because we done stepped out, opposition comes. Remember I told you last week, opposition comes and opposition is met with resistance. It resists you and tells you you can't do what God told you you can do, but now you got to meet resistance with persistence. I got to keep doing it. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look what they're saying. Don't listen to what the doctor's saying. Whose report you going to believe? What did I tell you you can do? And what's so powerful, I'm doing it right in front of you and you still doubting that I can do it. You better catch that one. See, opposition is confronted by resistance, and resistance is dealt with by persistence. You got to be persistent in what God told you. Make up your mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to see the end. You got to see the end before you begin. So you letting trouble know, none of these things move me. I got a word from God. I'm going to continue in the grace of God. I'm going to continue in the faith. Now watch this. Have faith. The Bible says have faith in. See, you. Faith is an object. He says have faith in what? He didn't say have faith in faith. He says have faith in. See, this is the person of your faith. See, you got to have faith in God. I'm not just believing. I can believe. I'm believing in someone. I'm not just believing like I got strong believing. No, I believe in someone. My faith is in God. It ain't in my faith. Sometimes my faith is shipwrecked, but God's still strong. So I can't be moved because I'm not always encouraged. I just got to continue. And the scripture said, Lord, if I am not in faith, help my unbelief. Then the Bible says, if I'm walking in unbelief, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. I can go and get my faith. How you go get your faith? Put your tape in and hear what you heard when you got faith. And the more you keep hearing it, more faith come to you, then I keep walking. Sometimes when you're in the situation, you got to discipline yourself that I got to hear this word every day because I got to keep faith alive. I can't say I heard it, now I'm going to walk for the next 38 days with not hearing it again. And when the storms come, I quit because I don't see we can make it. Faith says you could make it when you started. But in order to stay in faith, you got to keep hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, it's a continuous activity. So the moment you put your tape down, it's a good chance your faith. And faith is the substance of things. So if my faith gone, my hope is gone, I don't have an expectation now. That's why I stopped. Because hope left. Hope don't live here anymore. You know that song say, love don't live here anymore? Are we hearing anything? So now let's go back. Go back to Isaiah 54. Because now we understand that God is taking us to our next level. So what we got to do is keep stretching it out. The title of this message, keep stretching it out. How long do I stay with it, Pastor, until it comes? Well, it ain't got here yet, have it? No, well, stay with it. Keep doing what you was doing. Because you got a word from God. Some situations don't change because you did it one time. It don't change because you've been doing it 3 months. Some things take 3 years. Now Isaiah 54, verse 3. It says, for thou shalt what? Break forth on the right hand and on the left. Now he told you the steps that you're going to have to do in verse 2. But then he told you now in verse 3, if you continue in stretching it out and doing what I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen to you. Because his whole objective is he's getting them out of this hole. He says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Why? For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. See, you got a word from God. See, when you get a word from God, you got to live in that word. Come on. See, church. Is God real?
Yes.
Now, really, do you believe God real?
Yes.
Quit playing. Do you believe God real?
Yes.
I lost a few of y'all because you thought about it. God is real. If you get a word from God, you got to treat that word as real as the God that gave it to you.
Amen.
The Bible says them that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently. God going to take care of you if you take it him at his word. Now watch this. The word of God is no different than I was telling you the opposition that goes on in our lives, in our mind. The word come and confront your situation. It's just on a bigger scale. Now we know it's bigger than me. So when I apply the word to it, I can't look at my circumstances because the word has not manifested yet, but my problem is sitting right in front of me. But I got to remember the Lord. I got to remember the integrity of God, and God cannot lie, and if God promised it, God shall perform it. So now I take God at his word in spite of what my situation looked like, in spite of how big my problem is. It ain't bigger than God. But I'll never be able to trust God like this until I begin to trust him. See, you're going to have to learn how to live on the word. Take God at his word. Apply the word to your life and see the word work. And the more times you do it, the confidence you develop in is that if God said it, it shall come to pass. But what we got is a lot of people who read the word, but they don't live by the word. So they really don't trust the God that they say they love. I love him, but I don't trust him. I love my wife, but I ain't taking her to dinner. I'm not spending no time with her. I got papers, but we don't do none of that. Well, then where do you think this love relationship going to develop from? See, until you experience and apply and operate trusting God, taking him at his word, you'll never know God. See, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. See, God, I'm going to have to test God. Take him at his word and see if he perform. And every time he perform, you get more confidence that he will perform. Until now, you develop great faith. Then you get to the place where you say, and being fully persuaded, according to Romans chapter 4 and 21, if God promised it, God will make it come to pass.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, what does that look like? Let's get into practical. Somebody say they're going to bless you and give you some money. They came and gave you the money. Next time you ask, they say, I'll be there and I'm going to give you the money. They came and gave you the money. Next time you ask, they came and gave you the money. Now they say, I'll be there. You will borrow money from somebody else based on they told you they coming because their track record proved that they'll keep their word. Why can't it be the same integrity when it comes to God? Amen. Take him at his word. You can trust him because he'll perform it. And the more you learn how to do that, you don't have to have God. Just speak the word only. Yes, some people need God to be right there because they ain't developed the trust. Some people just can take God at his word. Amen. If God said it, it's a done deal. But then you say, Pastor, well, why is it that we got problems with this? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Are you hearing anything? See, God, by his grace, is already prepared to show us what he's going to do for us. Amen. If you hear this word today, I'm telling you, it'll set you free. It will literally set you free. We're going to have them come back and deal with that air again, amen? Set us all free. Galatians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 10. God, by his grace, is already prepared to do what he's going to do. We just got to take him at his word. Verse 10 says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. See, you're going to have to make up your mind that I'm going to obey God. When your problems come, and even when your solutions come, somebody say, I got the answer to your problem. The question for me is it the will of God? Not is it a answer? You say, what that mean? Okay, I got a son, a man right here. And I say, will a father stand up? Everybody in here will stand up because we all fathers. But the question is, will the father of that child stand up? Not a father, but the father. See, we can't have a word. We can't have a way. We got to have the way. And when you start putting your life down on the way, you start streamlining how you're going to live. Now you're living according to the will of God. Amen. And God, at that point, this is the integrity of God. If God ever promised you something, he's got to perform it or he got to shut heaven down. Oh, come on, child of God. When you get into this thing and you standing and believing God, God will show you that he's God. I'm talking about then, but he's my God. Wait till he show up for you. Not just he'll show up. Whole lot of people hearing people talking about God showed up for them, but he never showed up for me. But it's different when it becomes my God. Watch this. I'm the pastor of the church, but it's a question if I'm your pastor. I just threw that one in there just for the sake. Amen. So Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. It says, for I do now persuade men. For do I now persuade men or God? See, the question or the ambition or the motivation is, I'm to please God, not man. And I got to learn how to walk in that integrity. See, this don't mean that everybody, you know, that don't like me going to be my friend. That's not real. I know a whole lot of folks don't like me. I can't live by that. I got to give my time and attention to the ones that do like me. We got that syndrome in the house. You know what I'm saying? We only minister to the children that's bad. The children that's doing good, they sit over there and don't get no attention because we problematic. We only serve those that got a problem. What about the one that's doing good, get A's? He don't get no attention. But the one that need to do some A's, we over here talking about, well, I buy you this and I help you. And what school I need to send you to? Why don't you send me to school so I can do better? Because I'm already doing good, you give me no attention. So the only object way of me to get some attention, I'm going to do bad. So you'll talk to me this week. Amen. Watch this. See, God wants us to live on a confident level. And the confidence that we're talking about is not in myself, but the confidence is in me trusting that God can do what he said he'll do. See, a person could be in faith but never live by faith or never be in confidence. We all got faith, but do we all live by faith? And some circumstances come to provoke you to live by faith. Amen? Everything that's happening to you negative ain't for your destruction. Some stuff is to recalibrate your faith, because somewhere we done got off. We just start living independent of trusting God, but yet we Christians. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? I'm a Christian. Well, I can tell you if you're standing there living by faith, show me a word that you're living on. The Bible says faith speaks on this wise. So if you're living by faith, where is the word of your faith? Where is the word of your faith over your children? What are you confessing by faith about your children? Or are you just hoping they're going to come out right? Where is the word of faith about your wife? Where's the word of faith about your husband? Where's the word of faith about your money? You should be able to go somewhere and find a word to validate that I'm standing on faith in God to do it, not me. If I'm just living and just rolling, it ain't faith, even though I'm a child of God. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. How do you live by faith? You live on the word of God. Where's your faith at? Somebody show me your faith. There you go, woman of God. Thank you. Your Bible is your faith. You got your faith in your lap. Your faith sitting on the coffee table. Your faith is up under that desk or in the back seat of the car in the trunk. You got to get your faith out and live on your faith. And you start putting the word to work. Quit wrestling with people. Quit arguing with them. Start speaking the word over your husband and over your wife. I'm telling you, that word will go to work on them while they down there doing that slipping, dipping, and tipping. Yes, that word will be wrestling with them. Every time they take a drink, they get guilty. I'm going to show you what's so powerful. I was ministering to a man. This man has slipped off into adultery. And we had counseled him and counseled him. The man kept talking about that spiritual stuff. I call it spiritual. He acting like he church, but he ain't doing church because he ain't walking in it. He just go to the building. So we going and we talking. I got it, and we, you know, he complying. I'm going to do everything. He real smooth, right? He still ain't living it because he ain't doing it. Neither have he changed. He was in the car. This is how the Holy Ghost will get you. Scared me to death. He was in the car with the woman that he wasn't supposed to be with. His phone, he talking love, and, you know, they sugaring up and things, and his phone dials his wife. Oh, you better talk to me. His phone dials his wife. He don't even know that she done answered the phone, and she hear him talking. The Holy Ghost, I will quit playing with you. You better understand what grace look like. Don't think you getting away. Getting by. You getting by, but you ain't getting away. God is merciful to allow you time to make this change. But God say, can you hear me now? See, people you see bust out, it's because they refuse to obey when God was talking to them. God ain't no hard God that, oh, I bust you out. I saw you this day, so you been to do all. No, God said, come on now. Let us reason together. Why are you over here like this, son? You know, look what I've done for you. I bless you. Look over there. Look how beautiful that. Come on, man. What's the. Okay, I'm gonna give you another chance. And you blow that one. God, my son. So you thinking now God gonna just keep saying that, my son. Now God said, all right, now you disrespecting me. You think I don't know, huh? You went out there one more time. He said, can you hear me now? Come on, somebody. See, God wanna talk to us. His motive is never to hurt you, but it's to develop you. But sometimes, because of our disobedience, the grace of God can't operate in your life. Watch this. In Psalms, don't turn there, it's there. Psalms 34. See, the Bible says, David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he delivered me of my fears. See, the reason why some of us can't go to this next level, can't keep stretching it out, because we got fears. Watch this. Oh, God, help us. We're going to get in the mother load right here. I'm going to let you know. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going around this curve. Hold on to your seat. Grab your babies. Because, see, this is where we got to confront. See, the whole thing I told you, this, the Word of God is consistent in its theme. I told you the whole theme of this from the beginning was to have this confrontation with myself. See, don't come in here looking at me talking about what's wrong with me. Why, what's wrong with you? Didn't you come to church? So you only came to look at me? You came so God can deal with you. You trying to tell me everything wrong with me? Did you hear anything? With your self-righteous self. See, but God by his spirit is confronting our soul. Because God wants your soul to be subject to your spirit. We got too many people, their soul living in control and their spirit is subject. But for a Christian, a child of God, a woman of God, man of God, your spirit should be in control and your soul is subject. But because we don't comply to the word of God and don't use the word, now our soul is subject to our spirit and you make God of no effect. So it looks like God can't save you. God can't deliver you. God can't heal you. That's not the truth. The Bible says, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, and he must flee. It's not even optional. See, the authority that you walk in was given to you from the foundation of the world. But we surrender that authority when we want to have my way and not God's way. So now the enemy become the ruler of your life when you are the authority. But you surrendered that authority. You know how you know it? Because you can go in another area of your life and be standing on the mountain. But go to another area of your life and you living in the basement. So which analogy is true about you? You have the ability. You just gave it up for your delights. So now the word of God comes to confront you and have the confrontation to who gonna control you. Will it be your desire or will it be the will? So God by his grace loves us enough. What if he just said, go on and have it your way? We would be destroyed. We would be a mess, y'all. Don't act like you don't know. If God lets you do what you got planned to do in your mind and what you already practicing, you will be through in 90 days. If the grace of God lift off of you and ain't going to help you and ain't been willing to put up with you because of his expectations to change you, he let you be you. That's a scary thing, ain't it? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. He says, and deliver them who through faith, who through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to the bondage. See, watch this. The fear of death is what, that's why when you go to church, you don't hear nobody preaching about no death. Now, they're talking about everything else, but they ain't working with that death. Because, see, death is too final. And literally, I'm not cussing, but it would scare the hell out of some of us. If you start talking about real death, a lot of stuff you'll quit immediately when death looks at you. Right now, the reason why we don't stop what we're doing, because we still think we can get away with it and it ain't going to cost me nothing. So we keep doing it because ain't nobody charging me up for doing it today. But what if you got what you got coming the day you did it? Whole lot of that stuff will quit immediately, won't it? Yeah. It ain't no great mystery. I ain't mad with the grace, but let's not play with it and frustrate it. So he says that the fear of death is the parent of all fear. Even in things in our life, we won't let it go because we scared of the death experience. Oh, God, I'm preaching better. Y'all shout. See, God, by his grace, said, I'm going to free you from death. So absent from the body, we are. Yeah, we know all that. But now there's the process of death you do got to go through. Now, you ain't going to never experience death, but because the process, I don't want to get nowhere near death. So there's some stuff in our lives that we can't let go because of the process of death. What would it look like if I don't have that? How am I going to be? How are they going to see me? What will they say if I lose that? So I don't want to stop doing this because I'm afraid of the process of death. Come on, now there's some stuff I can't let go because I'm scared of the repercussions of letting it go. What would I look like when I let it go? What is it going to cost me to let it go? How much? So I rather, you remember that old Tarkenton commercial? I know it was a little way back with the little red circle. All right. That's for some of the 50 and above, amen. The rest of y'all don't worry about that. And since y'all ain't smoking, don't you even worry about that one. But this was back then when they were smoking. But it says, I'd rather fight than switch. Lucky Charm, yeah, Lucky Stripes. Yeah, Lucky Stripes, all right. Remember the little one had the arrow in it and the guy with the black eye? He says, I'd rather fight than switch. He don't want to give up the cigarettes. So I go on to fight. That's some of us. We don't want to give up what's got us. So I fight and learn to live with it instead of changing. But now watch this. The reason we don't want to change is because of fee, fop, and fo. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, we got, watch this. Fee, fop, and fo. We got fear of people, fear of rejection, and fear of failure. See, some of us won't let go because we're scared to miss it. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, this one's going to help you today. Some of us won't let go because we are afraid to be rejected. What they gonna think about me now? And see, God, by his grace, we got it. That light is still on, y'all. Thank you. That light is still on. God's by his grace, we got to learn to confront that which is challenging us. Amen. See, I told you the purpose of the message is to have a confrontation. I got to confront the thing that's confronting me. See, the fear, let's deal with this because I want to, Look at verse 14. Same text, Hebrews 2. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same. That's why Jesus had to come down and become just like man, so that when he offered man this victory, man can't say or think that he never experienced what he experienced. He had the victory prior to coming. But in order for him to talk to man and be persuaded to man, he had to become like man. But also he had to come and go face what man was going to have to face. So he went down to the grave and took captivity captive and came back and gave us the victory. So now we don't have no fear of death because the grace of God has given us the victory. So even in our lives, when we're going through areas that got to die, we still got a resurrection anointing. Just because I die in this area don't mean I can't live no more. I can live again. I can marry again. I can sing again. Come on, somebody. But see, if I'm afraid of death, I can never live again. Some folks saying they through with marriage and they only 20, 30 years old. And you know that's a... You don't even know the battles you about to fight. Amen? But it's based on the experience I had and what I don't want to go through no more, so I declared I'm through. Now you can marry again. You can be loved again. Come on, somebody. But you got to be able to face the fear of it. See, the fear of death gives birth to the fear of those areas that we just discovered. But now God, by his grace, see, some people never step out and do anything because they're afraid to fail. And he told you in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 3, I'm telling you to enlarge the place of your dwelling, stretch forth your habitations, spare not. Listen, I'm telling you all that because I got verse 3 for you. That you're going to bust out on the right and on the left. But if you get scared, you'll never see verse 3, even though you read verse 2. See, God, by his grace, has already demonstrated See, that's what happened to Peter in that boat. Peter, they was all out there in a troubling situation. The wind's blowing and all that. Everybody in the boat was scared. But Peter heard something. He saw Jesus walking on the water. And I ask you this, and I ask you again and again. And he said, if it be thou, bid me to come. And what did Jesus say? Come. So Peter walked on what? Huh? Peter walked on that word. He ain't walk on that water. Because if Jesus didn't say come, and if he didn't receive, he couldn't have never got out on that boat. Just like all the rest of them that was in there. They didn't get out because they didn't hear come. You ain't going to make it to your next level until you walk on that word. God done spoke to you and told you what I'm telling you. You got visions and dreams on the inside of you, but it's predicated on the word of the living God. It's not by power nor by might, but it's by my spirit. But you got to hear from God. But once you get a word from God, I don't care what devil and demon in hell. Amen. Because the word comes to challenge your current position. You know, Bishop Jakes did a book on repositioning yourself. You can't reposition yourself until you get a word from God. You got, come on, church, come on. Once you get a word from God, I'm telling you, faith comes alive. Now, I told you a long time ago, come here, man of God. When God give you a word, this is your faith. Faith says, come with me. I said you're going to be a doctor. I take you up here in the spirit, show you it yourself with a doctor's suit on, doing what a doctor's do, and then I back you up like this. And then I tell you, now walk by faith. Now watch this. Do I got to believe that I'm going to be? God already showed me I'm it. I saw it in the spirit. Amen. I got to follow the spirit. And trust in the word that I heard. Once I know I heard it, that doctor's position is up there. I'm going to have to go through the process, but I already got it by faith. It was conceived in my spirit. Everything that God does, he does it from the origin. Thank you, man of God. He does it from the origin of when he did the first initial one. When Mary conceived a child by the Holy Ghost, that was the premise of the power of God to impregnate man. When Jesus raised up from the grave after 3 days was the premise of the resurrection power that you can get up again. I don't care how cold, you better hear me, somebody. I don't care what you've been through, how down you've been. I don't even care if you was out. Talk to me, Lane. I don't care if you was laying there and dead. If God say you can get up, you're going to get up. You got to catch it by the spirit. Don't look at the circumstance, because the circumstance is there to opposition. It's going to cause you and talk to you that you can't do what God told you you can do it. Watch this. And you can't do what you already doing. It's a serious thing to talk somebody out of what they doing. I'm on the job doing it. And the devil say, you can't do it. How I can't do what I'm already doing? But if I don't meet opposition with resistance, I got to begin to say what God's saying. And then I got to be persistent. I got to keep doing what God told me. And you'll walk right into a miracle. The definition is anything that was out of your ability to perform. You get them spiritual folks want to go ghostbusting. The miracle, one eye moved to the other eye. Cut all that out, man. I ain't saying God can't do all that. That's the power of God. But that's his extreme end. The miracle could get the drug addict off the street and he walking around preaching the gospel. Now, if you want to see a miracle, doggone it. Come on. Yeah. All that other stuff you talking about, if he do it, good. But I'm talking about a living miracle. To take a marriage that's all cracked up and broke up, see him up there blowing bubbles and riding down the street on the wagon, with the horse, with the roses. God's working miracles in our lives. But we got to be able to know the spirit of God. You got to be able to know the will of God. You got to be able to identify that's the Lord. My son, my daughter out there running buck wild, sleeping with everybody, this sex, the same sex, and any other sex. Now she walking around with a Bible talking about Jesus Christ is Lord. You a miracle. Come on, somebody. You got to know when God doing it. But we got to get past fear of people, fear of failure, and fear of rejection. See, the only way you're going to overcome any of that, you're just going to have to obey the Lord. Some stuff you'll never know or see until you get to the other side. Jesus told the disciples, we're going to the other side. You going to the other side, man of God, woman of God. Whatever God promised you is there for you. Now, watch this. The children of Israel, it took them 40 years. Did God change the plan and in 40 years he made it to be what he's... It was what it was the day one. But because of their rebellion and disobedience, lack of faith, they couldn't experience it for 40 years. It was an 11-day journey. Don't go on no trip with God. If God told you something, obey God. Jonah wouldn't obey God. He'd find himself shipwrecked down in the belly's well. God said, it's not my desire to take you that long route, but it's your choice to obey me. Just because you where you at don't mean it's the will of God. It's your choice. God ain't changing his mind, amen? But now watch this. See, because if we seek to please men, then we become or cease to obey God. Now, we can't serve God because the grace of God is not up on us. See, in the anointing of God rests in the obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than... See, you can have the grace of God, but you don't have the anointing of God. The grace is just that favor that allows you to operate. The anointing is the power and equipment for ministry. See, you need the anointing. Don't live in the grace you got saved by. But when are you going to develop, go to the next level, that you as a man or woman of God, you begin to walk in the anointing, meaning I'm broken and yielded and submitted to say not my will, but let thy will be done. Now the anointing of God remains up on you. See, there's an anointing that's borrowed. Amen. According to the scriptures, there's an anointing that borrows 2 Kings. He said, for at last, Lord. He said, go back to the place where the axe head fell. He said, at last, Lord, for the anointing is borrowed. But there's an anointing that abides. He said, if you abide with me, I will abide with you. When you be with God, the anointing of God abides in you. Wherever you go, it's upon you. And then there's an anointing that remains. Meaning the Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. When you become the thing that God been working on you in that area and it transform you, now that anointing remains on you, meaning you become it. This is my character now. It's not my conduct. Some folks doing stuff, but they're not it yet. But when you do it and you submit to God, this anointing remains upon you. That's when a person is developing and growing into the things of God. We want the anointing to remain in different areas of our lives so that when you see me, I see you, I see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because the anointing or the person, the character of Christ is alive in my life. We got some Christians, they Christians, but I can't see the character. You don't act Christ-like. I'm not saying you ain't a Christian. I ain't saying you ain't saved, but some areas in your life are not Christ-like. And we all got them, but you can't still have the same areas after 10 or 15 years. What happened to the development? The Bible says grow in the grace. Amen? So we're trusting God by the word of God, as we bring this to a close, I don't want to keep messing with this. As we bring this to a close, when we allow the word of God to begin to transform us, and that happens, we was at a meeting yesterday, and the brother used such a powerful analogy, I'll get it and learn it. He took a glass of water, and the water, one glass, he had a vase, that was full of water, and he had a glass of water, and the glass was blue. The water inside the glass was blue. He had a pitcher of water that was full, and the more he poured the water into the blue glass began to transform, and it began to turn white. Because the more you put water in it, the water transformed the contents of the glass till the glass became all white. Well, it would have been. The more you put the word of God in you, it transformed whatever conduct and character you got going. And it transformed and replaced the old habit to the new habit. But you got to put the word in you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that they were washed by the water of the word. See, the more you put that word on him, don't be wrestling with your husband at home. Spend your time with your wife. Spend your time in your prayer closet, washing them with the water of that word. And you got to wash them until that word transformed them. Because as long as you standing in front of them arguing, guess what? It's confrontation with your children, with your boss. Quit wrestling with them. They don't like me on the job. So what? They ain't supposed to like you. Remember, you an answer. The answer gonna have problems. Some of us been put on our job to solve problems. You trying to get in there and be a part of the clique. Now you a problem. Now we need to send another answer. Now when a new Christian come, you mad who they think they is, because they won't come and get in the group. I wasn't sent here to get in the group. I was sent here to stand out above the group so the group can see the answer and start the new group. Father, in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, we bless you. You got to come back Sunday. We thank you for your word.